We don't have everybody here yet, but Representative Keel is here with her folks from East Grand Forks, and I think maybe Representative Keel can start to introduce her bill and have some of the testifiers talk about their proposal, and then we can move it when we do get quorum. So welcome, Representative Keel, House File 3148. I'll let you introduce your bill to the committee. And welcome from East Grand Forks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everybody. House File 3148 has been requested by the leadership of East Grand Forks. And I am going to have them introduce and explain what they're looking for and what they're working on. With me, I have Craig Buckaloo, who is a councilman, and Dave Murphy, who is the city administrator. So,
welcome, Mr. Buckaloo and Mr. Murphy. Please introduce yourself and your position for the record, and then present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Craig Buckaloo. I am Ward 3 representative on the City Council, have been since 2006. I also own a retail hardware store in the community of East Grand Forks and one in the community of Crookston, which is also in Polk County, and also own the License Center, which is we do the titling, registration, collect the sales tax on vehicles and DNR and driver's license. So, with that.
My name is David Murphy.
Mr. Murphy, welcome.
I'm the city administrator here for the city of East Grand Forks, and I have been in that position since fall of 2013.
Thank you. Could Mr. Murphy, Mr. Buckaloo, could you kind of present what kind of your local option sales tax background and where you're at and what you're proposing? Mr. Buckaloo?
We have a brochure that hopefully has been put in front of you. Explains our project, and it's renovating a pool that was built in 1963.
Excuse me, Mr. Buckaloo. Do members have this flyer? I've got one.
Yes, do.
They do have it. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Buckaloo.
The pool was in severe disrepair. We knew we had to do something about that. We have explored many options of how to pay for that, and our community was faced with having to take a very high levy increase this year of 25% due to pushing things off for years past. We also have a school district that the taxpayers voted to approve a $20 million referendum last fall, and with the coupling of those events, it's an effort to try to get people that are in our community from out of the area, such as our Canadian visitors that use the campground next to this facility, and some of the other people that come over to our community from the North Dakota side of the border, to help get some relief, financial relief from those folks to fund this project and only this project.
Thank you, Mr. Buckaloo. Mr. Murphy?
Because one thing I'd like to point out is, as it shows on the brochure here, this vote for the 1% sales tax was conducted here in March of this year. It was a mail ballot, so it was about a six-week process from start to finish as far as when the ballots went out. So this was after the school referendum was voted on and passed, so the taxpayers were well aware of that. We received actually a very high turnout and response rate for this due to it being a mail ballot. Actually, it exceeded what our last presidential election turnout was for this, and with what we received, it was over 70% of the voters in the city voted yes to approve the sales tax.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Keel.
I just would like to point out, too, that since this vote has passed, I actually have been contacted by citizens who voted no And I evidently hadn't checked the details of this vote and said, gosh, if I'd have known all this, I'd have voted yes. So, which typically, that's not what you hear. So I just wanted to make note of that. So,
Representative Quam has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering if, in this portion, that was the verbiage that was on the ballot?
Yes.
Then I'm curious, because you've got in here, until the projects are paid for, but lower down you have pool renovation project. What is the plural referring to?
Mr. Murphy.
Mr. Chair, what that refers to is there were several options that were in this. We have a climbing wall, there was the kiddie pool, those type of things. So the projects, I guess we looked at it as the pool as a whole. There was a couple of separate portions that were in that, but it's not funding anything other than the pool. There was, because we had the, there were some alternatives that were in there as far as additional play structures, those type of things.
Representative Quam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, it might be a personal thing, but frankly, if you use the plural and then go to a singular, I just want to make sure that the language in here, you know, it bothers me that you're saying until projects are completed and you only list one project. I mean, just for future, that's something that makes me not really tempted to, you know, automatically support. I know that you've got a lot of, you know, voter support, but, you know, frankly, that doesn't seem very honest.
Mr. Buckaloo.
And I thank you for those kind words to suggest something different in the future. And I know that when we talk about the bathhouse, you know, we think of that as a project in itself, however it's part of the big project. So I apologize for the mistake that we've made.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it should disturb all of us when Representative Quam and I are working in the same, plowing same ground here. To pick up where Representative Quam left off, I'm looking at 1.18, where again there's reference to facilities, plural, indicating you're intending to use this for more than one facility, so something beyond the pool, and improvements, again, plural. I'm hearing this is for the pool, but then I'm hearing it's for a climbing wall and other things. So can you just get clear with me, at least, what it is you want to use the money for?
Mr. Buckaloo.
The money is used for the pool, the plumbing, the filters, the heater, and the basic pool structure itself in the bathhouse. We have a Save Our Pool committee that is also noted on the brochure. Mm-hmm. They are attempting to help do fundraising and have done fundraising events so far to help with some of the other amenities such as a climbing wall, those kind of things. So this is merely for the construction part of the project.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the clarification. A couple other areas of question here. Those sneaky Canadians you referred to? Pardon? Well, I'm not going to go there. Mr. Chair, don't encourage me.
My wife's from Canada, Mr.
Oh, seriously?
Representative Dabney,
okay.
So I can do that.
Okay. Yes, you can. And again, I'm going to try to be disciplined and not go there. Is access free? You don't charge anyone for access to the pool?
We do have a fee for access to the pool.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Buckley, then why not have the costs, why not have the entrance fee, do what every private business would do, which is cover the costs of maintaining your facility? For the sneaky Canadians, and no disrespect to your kind wife, or North Dakotans for that matter.
Mr. Buckley.
They, of course, are helping with the small fee at the door, and there's other you know, when they come to our community, use the campground, which is the state campground. It's, if you take a look at the 1% and you go to the restaurant and have a meal and it's $40, you're talking about a 40-cent incremental cost to support the pool. So to tack that on, that would be a way to do it. We just felt that the sales tax was probably quicker. We could do it in a 5-year period and recover the cost and be done. And not have to do the fee. So the fee part, you know, as I spent a week in the community last week and used the restaurants, used the facilities here in this community, the sales tax was significant, but it did not keep me from using the facilities and enjoying the amenities that the community provided. So it's another way to do it. Is it the best way to do it? Is it the only way to do it? Obviously, there are other avenues. It's the one that the council and the mayor and the community has chosen to be the best way to do it.
What, Representative Keel?
Mr. Murphy,
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Davey. One of the things that we looked at as far as funding of the pool, you say, with the entrance fees and those type of things, here in the Minnesota, state of Minnesota, and particularly in the area where we live, up close to the Canadian border, we have a 6-week window of opportunity where the pool is open. So if we were going to, and as pools, as you were, are very expensive to operate and very expensive to run, it's an amenity that is realistically not going to be supported just by entrance fees. What we would have to charge for an entrance fee would really make it prohibitive to anybody coming in. So here in the northern states, what we have to do is we look at pools have to be looked at as an amenity that adds something to the community, and it's something that's going to have to be subsidized in some form or another. Just because of the time period that we have, it just is not feasible to and realistic to pay for it just with entrance fees.
One last question, Mr. Chair.
I'll call the meeting to order, Representative Dabney. We do have quorum, and Representative Dabney.
Thank you. Also, looking at the language in the pullout on the special election, I thought it was unusual to say that the 1% sales tax will click off at the later of after the project has been paid for or 5 years. So if you arrive at If you've raised enough revenue to pay for the project, the 1% continues. What are the intended uses of the overage once the project has been paid for?
Mr. Murphy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dabney, Representative Dabney. If I could answer that, when we put together the sales ballot, the sales tax question that went out onto the to the mail-in ballot, we had our city attorney working closely with, and I'm going to the state auditor's office, and I believe that's correct, that handles with the elections. We worked with them very closely to make sure that the ballot language was correct, in that it met the legal requirements for that, and this is what was suggested for the language to be from our city attorney working with the state on that. And I can, but one thing I can tell you is that we do not have any intentions or plans for using any funding that would come in after that the pool would be paid for anything else. It was our understanding that was the language that needed to be in there. And according to our understanding of the state statute is that the sales tax here can only be used for this particular project. We would not be able to use this for any other project other than the pool itself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Murphy and Representative Dabney. Ms. Dalton, do you have some light to shine on this?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, actually using the term ladder instead of earlier is pretty unusual. There have been very few cases where that has actually passed. And the way this bill is written right now is if they raise the 2.8
$2 million plus associated bond costs before the $5 million, before the 5 years are over, all the excess money would go into their general fund, and they could use it for whatever they wanted to, because that's authorized in the bill.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton. So, Ms. Dalton, the way this language reads, so, or maybe Mr. Murphy or Mr. Buckaloo could help, or Representative Keel, but the only of these two situations where there would be money collected afterwards that would go to the city would be with number one there, when you're looking at the 5 year deadline or the 5 year if you would actually pay it off, you know, if you pay it off before 5 years, is that, how does that work, Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the tax can always be expire at what a time prior to either the 5 years or when the amount is paid, if the city so desires. But if the city raises sufficient funds to pay off the pool and the 5 years have not expired, the city may continue to collect this money under this language and put it in their general fund and use it for whatever would be general fund purposes. Now, many of the previous bills have had that general fund language, but that general fund language in other bills has to do with the fact that local sales taxes have to click on and off at the end of a calendar quarter, and this is a requirement under streamlined sales tax, which the state is a member of, and therefore sometimes there's a little extra. And so it was always envisioned that if you have that little extra because of that calendar quarter issue, that money could go into your general fund. But in this case, because of the use of the term ladder, you could have some significant money going into the general fund.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton. Representative McDonald and then Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Representative Keel or staff. Just wondered if this would be considered a revenue bond. And just also, as the city considered just having this part of their capital improvement, I mean, without having a tax on it, would it be similar to that of any other projects, sewer, street, wastewater plant project that the city would usually bond for and build and construct without the use of an additional tax?
Mr. Buckaloo.
Thank you. We are right in the middle of a wastewater situation where we have chosen to interconnect with the city of Grand Forks for our wastewater treatment, and that project is $10 million that we are also trying to fund, and quite honestly, there's just no more room in the capital budget because of fire, police, fire trucks, cars, all the other, the streets, all the other projects that we're behind on. So we have considered it. It's just time has run out. Things like this should have been planned for 20 years ago, but we're not.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just curious, and some of the questions are just curiosity for when I was mayor of Delano, we also anticipated some of these things with a swimming pool and not necessarily a tax, but a project. Is there an entrance fee, if you will, or admission to the park? For the water park usage for city members and then maybe non-city members, and then I would presume that that monies would be to help pay off the bond as well.
Mr. Buckaloo.
Right now we subsidize the cost of the pool operation by about $90,000, and that is counting the revenue against the expenses. So as Mr. Murphy talked about earlier, to raise those fees to the point of recapturing all, not only the cost, but the future replacement or the amortization of the loan to do it now wouldn't work. I mean, it competitively wouldn't work from being next to Grand Forks.
Representative McDowell.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a clarifying question, too, just so I understand. On lines 2.5 through 2.8, speaking about bonds not subject to any levy limitation principal or interest, is that kind of a off-road to any levy limits in the future, or was that clarifying language? I don't know if Ms. Dalton can answer.
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's actually pretty standard language, and generally debt service is not subject to levy limits under our general levy limit laws when they're in effect.
Thank you. I thought so, but I just wanted to clarify. Thanks.
Thank you both. Representative Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for coming to testify in front of our committee. I actually have quite a soft spot for this project because I love my city pool. I worked there for 10 years and taught swimming lessons and think this is just a great, great heartwarming story of a local community coming together to save their pool. And I apologize, I was a few minutes late and I was just reading this handout that the community raised on their own. They raised $350,000. My question would be, are they going to continue to do that fundraising, or, and how do they do that fundraising? And then as far as, well, I might have a follow-up.
Mr. Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Whalen. Yeah, the Save Our Pool Group, they have gone out and they solicited donations from businesses, some of the larger employers in our area, like Altru, Bremer Bank, those type of things. And they, what we're looking at doing here now is the money that is coming in so far that they've raised would be offsetting the cost of the construction of the pool. So that would even lower, theoretically lower what we would be collecting from the sales tax ultimately. But what throughout the summer and throughout the year, they do fundraisers as well. They have a carnival night at the pool where you can pay extra and you come in and they show movies at the pool and you can float out there and there's games and things like that. You know, float out there and you can watch the movie and they have games and those type of things. And it's it raises a couple thousand dollars. It's not those type of things. It's not going to be where it's going to be funding this particular project, but it gets people out there.
Is that like a drive-in, Mr. Murphy?
In a way, yes. I am old enough to remember a drive-in. Yes, I had gone to those. They haven't taken my suggestion. I told them they should show the movie Jaws. But that's a small part. But it does get the people excited about it. The majority of the money that they're getting that's going to be making a difference is that they have been working with some of the larger employers in the greater Grand Forks area. And some of the money that we, actually a fair amount of the money that they've gotten has come from businesses that are located all across the border in North Dakota that feel this is a good project as well.
Representative Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that response. I feel like I should drive up there sometime. That'd be fun. But I have, I just would say I would, encourage that group to just keep fundraising. And I think, clearly, at least to me, it seems put the onus on the community that they do have skin in the game. They're donating to this. They want to see this happen. And just looking at the results of the special election that they voted to tax themselves. And to me, with local control being a high priority, it just looks like government is working well in this area, so thank you for what you guys are doing.
Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just had a question on process, maybe directed to Mr. Hines or Ms. Dalton. In my past experience as a retailer, I've never been subjected to a local option tax, and certainly as a mayor, we never had that either. But is the money collected and sent to the Department of Revenue, and then the money comes back to the city, or is the local merchant burdened with filing two returns and sending that money separately to the city?
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the money is actually collected by the state and then sent back to the city, I believe, on a quarterly basis. And that's, again, one of those things that's actually required under the streamlined sales tax, that there only be one sales tax collector.
Representative Hertaus?
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions, members? Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The project seems great. I do have a slight concern about the funds going to the sales tax going to the general fund, partly just because of the language that was on the ballot before voters, that it does say for the purpose of paying for the renovation project. I could imagine a voter, even seeing that it would be, you know, whichever comes last, would say, well, once the first part of the project's paid for, but I know that the sales tax money is going to go to the swimming pool. So I guess that's a particular concern that I would have about the idea that any funds remaining after that first $2.82 million is going to go to the general fund just because of the language put in front of the voters. Any thoughts on that?
Representative Keel?
Thank you. We did a little bit of conversation after Representative Dan Dabney had that conversation. I think it's something that was not intended to go farther than just the pool, and so that might be a language issue that we're going to need to clean up. So.
Thank you. Thank you both. At this point, Representative Whalen moves House File 3148 to be laid over. Members, any other discussion? Seeing none, thank you. Anybody else in the audience who would like to testify on this bill? Thank you, Representative Keel. Thank you, Mr. Murphy and Mr. Buckaloo. With that, the chair does lay over House File 3148.
Thank you.
Members, we have the minutes from the last meeting. Is there a motion to approve them? Representative Pinto moves that we approve the minutes from the March 16, 2016 meeting of the committee. Any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passes. Those minutes are approved as presented. Next on the agenda, we have Representative Marquardt and House File 2968. Representative Marquardt, if you could move your bill and then tell us all about it.
Very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. I will move House File 2968.
And that will be, these bills will all be laid over, so to be laid over. Thank you.
So, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. And what this bill does is targets property tax relief to senior citizens and those with disabilities. And it does it through the property tax refund for homeowners and renters. And it doesn't really touch the program itself, but what it deals with is household income, because the base for the program of all the refunds is your household income. And then that determines, for example, what your threshold is going to be, what percent of the tax of your income do you have to pay to start. That determines what your copay is going to be, and it also determines what the maximum refund is. And so what this bill does is, if you look, it's mainly in the language from 3.10 to 3.21 in the bill. But right now, when you get your household income, you can subtract income off of that for the purposes of the PTR program. And the way it works is that actually for the first dependent, it is the federal exemption times 1.4. So the federal exemption is about $4,050. So you times that by 1.4, that's $5,760 you'd be able to subtract from the household income. And then for the next dependent, it's 1.3 and down the line. Well, right now for the claimant, it is 1.0. And so what this would do, this bill, 2968, is that if you are a senior citizen, 65 years or older, or if you are disabled, that first claimant would be, instead of 1.0, you would be able to subtract from household income 1.4 times the federal exemption, which is about $5,760. And then before, where the spouse did not get any sort of subtraction, the spouse would also get a 1.4 times the federal exemption as a subtraction from household income. So just how this would work is it would subtract about an additional $7,700 off household income for a senior spouse, a senior claimant and their spouse, or those with disabilities. So for example, where does that make a difference? If you were to, I've got the chart here, I don't think you've got the chart, but if you had an income of $35,000, household income of $35,000, and then you got this additional subtraction, it would take you down to about $28,000. So your threshold would remain the same at 2.0, but your copay instead of 35% would be 30%, which means you get a little bit more of a refund. So that's how it works. It lowers your household income, brings in more refund, and the cost of the program would be about $22 million. So it's a way to, because it's tough to target by actually looking at the schedule, but this targets senior citizens and those with disabilities. So that is my bill, and Ms. Mancy or anyone else can correct me if I was wrong in any of this that I mentioned, because I'm a lot smarter today than I was like 18 hours ago before I talked to Ms. Mancy and others. So, and I slept at the Holiday Inn last night too. So, well, not really, the Kelly Inn, but or the Capitol Ridge.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Ms. Mancy, did the teacher pass? Sounds like you did well, Representative Marquardt.
Thank you.
Questions, members? Okay. With that, anybody else that would like, anyone that would like to testify on Representative Marquardt's bill, House File 2968? Hearing none, members, the chair will lay the bill over. And thank you, Representative Marquardt. Our next bill is House File 2987. Representative Marquardt, if you want to move that bill and proceed.
I will. So I like, members, Mr. Chair, members, I'd like to move House File 2987 for to be laid over.
Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much. Well, this bill right here is nothing new to this committee. In fact, this bill very similar to this passed out of this committee, passed off the House floor, and is sitting in the Tax Conference Committee right now. The only difference is the one sitting in Tax Conference Committee right now is an income tax credit, which I know the chair is looking at changing. And this is a property tax credit. It would show up on the property tax form. Otherwise, it does, I believe, almost the very same as what is currently in the Tax Conference Committee, and that is, in short, on school building bonds. When the schools go for a building debt service, this would basically reduce the property taxes through a credit on those taxes on ag land by 50%. So, for example, Dilworth Glendon Felton this year had a proposed bond issue that would have been about $10 an acre to the farmland. And this bill would, the state would come in and cover basically $5. The property owner would pay $5 on the acre on ag land, and then the state would pay the school district the remaining amount of money. So there's no shifts to other properties. So what's the need for this? And you've heard this here before, but, and a lot of the discussion that occurred when Representative Lean and I had bills last week, kind of the same type of discussion. But in rural Minnesota, when we are going to do a building bond for schools, unlike the metro areas, there's an untenable position right now for farmers. And for example, just in my area, the district of Campbell Tinta, 94% of the tax base is ag land. Ada Borup, 86%. Barnesville, who's looking at a bond bill, is 72%. DGF, which had one that failed last year, is 62%. And I think, members, you might have heard from folks who live in the Rotse school district. That was last couple years. There, the farmers cover 88% of the tax base. And the votes aren't out there either like there were years ago. And so what you have created in communities is farmers who strongly support education. In DGF, many of these farmers are former students of mine. They strongly support education, but just the way things are set up, we have put farmers in such an unfair, untenable position to support these, because they are, you know, right now you've had rising property taxes for the last 4 or 5 years, you've got low commodity prices, and it really leaves them no choice. And it also creates division within the community. I think anyone who's gone through this understands it creates some animosity. And, you know, they're saying, well, you don't support education, when in fact, they do support education, but they just with their livelihood cannot afford to do it. So this would provide some relief. The folks I know in Clay County and Norman County in the area I represent are in strong support of an effort like this. But not only would it reduce property taxes for farmers, but create more unity within communities when they go to these bond issues. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Marquardt, I don't disagree with anything you're doing. I think it speaks to the bigger systemic problem that we have in the correlation between education funding and property taxes. And as you're well aware, and I've shared my tenure here with you on both of those committees, you're asking the state to pay for more of local school funding. And I don't disagree with that. In fact, our property tax system is so antiquated, if you will, in terms of the carve-outs that have been created over decades, that anytime we talk about the need for revenue, we right away pit one group of people against another. And so all I want to say is I think we need to really be looking for a long-term solution for education funding, and it would be my preference that we relieve all Minnesota property completely from education funding, that there only be two lines on property tax, and that'd be the city and the county. I think we need to move in that direction, and I think we need to get serious about looking at a long-term vision of how we fund education, and in doing so, we could do a better job of ensuring that every kid gets the type of education that you strongly support.
Thank you, Representative Hertaus. Representative Marquardt?
Well, Mr. Chair,
sounds
Mr.
like we're going to get into weeds here.
Good point. I mean, I do think there should be something to say for the tax base. I mean, you know, locals should have some skin in the game. There's no doubt about that. So I don't know if I would support, you know, the state completely, or I don't know for sure what you're suggesting, covering all those funds. But what's happened over the years is that these rural districts, especially with land values going up, they look wealthier and wealthier, and then the way the formula works is it's divided by student count, and as student count goes down, it just makes you look wealthier and wealthier. And on it, this is education finance, but in our equalization, we really haven't touched the debt service equalization for many, many years. And so there's only a small portion of the total debt levies out there that's covered by the state on equalization. So we should be doing a much better job of that. And I think that'd get a little closer to even what you're saying, Representative Hertaus. So I do think there is a systemic problem here that we need to look at, certainly.
Other questions, members? Thank you, Representative Marquardt. And I think this bill actually is the same as the one that we brought originally, because then we went from a property tax credit to an income tax credit in the division report.
Okay.
So kind of the same type of deal. Other questions, members? Anybody else who would like to testify on this bill? Mr. Doerr, would you like to testify? Okay. He's here. He quipped earlier that most of the ag people are upstairs listening to the buffer stuff today, so he's our ag guy here today. So, Mr. Clavin's here too. Mr. Clavin, would you like to testify?
Support the bill.
Okay, he supports the bill. All right. Any other questions? Thank you, Representative Marquardt. With that, the chair does lay over House File 2987.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you.
Thank you. With that, one other item, Ms. Schill, do you, you've got an item for us.
And members,
the pages, if you could hand that handout around. Ms. Schill.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, as promised, I wanted to make sure you had the thumbnail sketch of the governor's recommendations as they affect tax aids and credits, which is the jurisdiction of this committee. There are very few changes to the governor's 2016 recommendations, save two, and you'll see them listed on the one page, 8.5 by 11.
that the pages are providing for you right now. The governor has proposed a one-time increase for local government aid at a level of $21.5 million for fiscal 17, and an increase in CPA county program aid for $25 million, once again a one-time in fiscal 17. The other recommendations mirror what was requested in 2015, but the numbers have been updated. And so you can see on the one-page sheet all those items, and then I have included them as they would be reflected in the February forecast on the legal size papers. But unless there's questions, those are the governor's recommendations. They have been heard in the overall tax committee, and I wanted to make sure that you had the same information as it affects the jurisdiction of this division.
Thank you, Ms. Schill. Members, any questions for Ms. Schill? And we did have the beginnings of a lively discussion on CPA and LGA in committee yesterday in the bigger committee. So, Representative Dabney, I didn't hear you. You didn't respond to that in committee. I was surprised.
You know, kind of like a walleye on Mille Lacs. I don't always rise to the bait, Mr. Chair. but it did occur to me sitting here that perhaps if East Grand Forks had been able to maintain the LGA they were getting in 2002, for instance, over the last 14 years, they would have been able to more responsibly take care of their deferred pool maintenance rather than having to look at a local option sales tax. They did indicate that it should have been dealt with years ago.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. We're going to let the fish stay in the weeds for now. Any other discussion or anything else for the good of the order? Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And looking, item four with the negative amounts, I assume 79 should also have a negative sign, and 38 and 37, no? So those are, if you could enlighten me.
I don't know. Representative Quam's going to be corrected here. Members, are you ready? He's going to be corrected on a number. Ms. Schill.
Mr. Chair and members, Representative Quam asks a very good question, which gives me the opportunity for some clarification. You see numbers 1 through 5, and then this little paragraph, this lengthy paragraph at the bottom of the table, having to do with senior property tax deferral. The reporting for senior property tax deferral, that presentation is a little bit different this year, and it's great to be able to talk about this because the Department of MMB Management and Budget has enhanced the presentation in the fund balance in the overall way we track all state funds for senior deferral, because guess what? We have been getting an increase in revenues coming back from senior deferral. That means when people leave the program, they are actually paying back to the state the amount due for the loan. And so we've enhanced the presentation on the overall big sheet to show not only the monies that are appropriated for senior deferral, the state paying its part to counties as that buffer time period to defer taxes on behalf of taxpayers, but the taxpayers are now paying back the loan. So you'll have two lines in the spreadsheet. One is the appropriation that the state is doing. One is the revenue line showing the amounts of money coming back in. And those amounts of money are now eclipsing the appropriation for senior deferral. So that's how we get this negative amount coming through. The other thing that you need to know is that because we have this loan repayment going on, it is not a straight appropriation anymore, so it is considered a net, what is the actual technical term? I've got it in here. There's a net amount that is now
revenue.
A net revenue amount that is reflected for senior deferral. So as the program continues, it's reported in a different place in the fund balance, and therefore literally falls off of our tax aids and credits spreadsheet, but it still remains in the jurisdiction of this committee. So when changes to senior deferral are requested, either in a bill form or in this case the governor's recommendations, I need to track the change, whether it's a positive or a negative. And so as you have on this sheet, that's why I put it in brackets, and so it's not going to the bottom line of our spreadsheet at all unless there is a change in the program. And so Representative Quam, your question follows this, that under number four on this summary page, I'm showing the base level of net revenue for the February forecast, and then I'm showing the change for the governor's item, which is an increase in spending in the tails, and then you can see how that impacts the overall base level appropriation. But because we have revenues eclipsing expenditures in fiscal 16, the overall spending in the biennium is a negative, but in fiscal 17, the 79 is a positive. So this is how we're tracking those lines. So sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down for that net revenue amount.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the illumination. Can you also illuminate in, is it statute that is causing the baseline cut in out years to the CPA? And if so, maybe you can let us know why and how that will trend beyond 18-19.
Ms. Schill.
Mr. Chair and members, exactly why in fiscal 16 County Program Aid is at $209,969,000, and then in 17 and beyond it's $208,563,000. I need to gain some additional information, but Mr. Hines is perhaps has more information.
Mr. Hines, is that the ready?
Mr. Chairman, change from fiscal 16 to 17, that's a drop. There was a one-time appropriation, I believe, to Monoman County for $1.5 million that was reflected in 16 that's gone in 17. And the slight dips you see in 18 and 19, I'm not sure about that, but there are these, in CPA there are, off the top, there's some money set aside for fiscal notes and some public defender costs. There are a few takeouts, and then if that money's not all used up by those agencies that have this money to spend, it goes back into CPA the next year. So because of that, there can be a little bit of variation from year to year, even though the base level appropriation is the same. So the base appropriation for CPA is the same dollar amount into the future, but these little fluctuations are, I think, just changes in estimates of how much they're spending on these couple of takeout programs.
Thank you, Mr. Hines. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so are there any other places in government where you're anticipating there'll be a decrease in cost and trending lower, such as in CPA, or is that just projections? Because when I talk with my counties, they continually tell me that actually all of their line items are increasing, and that's why I was confused by this.
Well, Representative Quam, I think they're about as scarce as a good-sized walleye in Mille Lacs. Thank you. And sharp eyes, walleye-like eyes there, Representative Quam, on these numbers. So thank you. Other questions, members? Things for the good order. With that, thank you. We'll see you next week. Meeting is adjourned.